I'm looking at a room full of radiant people who love Jesus. All right, radiant people, how many of you know that Jesus loves you? If your heart condemns you, your heart is wrong. When you're in the blood of Jesus and cleansed by faith through His grace, His mercy, and His blood. So say, heart, be still in the presence of God. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus sees you and He knows you right where you are. You're not hiding from Him. How many know that never works very well? But sometimes, in the tough times, we wonder, don't we? But God is in charge, even and especially in the tough times. I said, God is in charge, even and especially in the tough times. I said, God is in charge. You understand how you get a testimony, right? You've got to go through a test. It's the test that releases a testimony. And the word testimony, by the way, comes from the Latin word testi. And it means literally witness. One who testifies in court serves as a witness. Somebody who has been a witness to something that has occurred can bring a testimony. Somebody who has up front and close personally witnessed how Jesus has helped you in the midst of the tough time has a what? Testimony. In the scripture, they said what they had seen and done, what they had seen and been a part of. That's what witnessing is. We make it such a tough deal, don't we? Man, I don't understand the 43 points about how to witness. Well, neither do I. But God says, just tell Him what I've done for you. Testimony comes from a test. But you know, when you're in the test, you wonder where God went? Sometimes? Sometimes you do. So when you're going through a test, you've got to stop, get His direction solidly enough to just keep walking. You've heard me talk about this before. How many have a GPS in your car? Okay, a bunch of you don't. Well, new generations have GPS in the car, or you have GPS on your phone, Google Maps, all of that. So what do? You put in the address, and if you've got your volume up, somebody starts to talk to you. You know? And if you go the too many streets, too long, too far, somebody starts to talk to you. Turn around, you jerk! Okay, it doesn't say it quite like that, but that's how you feel. Turn around. And have you ever wanted to go a different route and your GPS keeps talking? Say, shut up, I'm doing what I want to do. You're not in charge. Never tried that. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, just you. I know, Bob, you just don't even turn it on, right? I'm going this way. But you know, have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're on a long straightaway, the GPS shuts up? You got 100 miles going to California, right? You got 100 miles. Or maybe you should say Kansas or wherever those open states are. You're just going 100 miles on a straight road. You could fly 747s and land them on those highways. You know, just long forever. But guess what? GPS stops talking. And if you have a mind to be insecure, I've never driven this road before, don't know where I'm going, you might start pounding on the dashboard. Talk to me! Talk to me! Talk to me! And that's how we are sometimes in the Lord. Talk to me! Talk to me! Talk to me! And it goes, I already told you which way to go. Just keep walking. And I'll tell you if there's a turn coming. But until there's a turn coming, I might not say anything more to you, so you go to your Word and you stay in the Word of God every day and you hang out with Christian friends who look at you and say, you guys know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know how much Jesus, and you encourage one another and you go, okay, well, I'm just going to keep walking. Then when it comes time for the next direction, He gives you the Word in due season. But sometimes in our tests, we wonder where He went. It doesn't mean you left His road. It just means you keep going. What can God do? What can He do? Come on, church, what can God do? Anything and everything He wants. Say it out loud with me. Anything and everything He wants. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers, Israel, as you walk with God through the wilderness and difficulties of life, though you have adversity at times and affliction at times, your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore so you don't know which way to walk, but your eyes shall see your teachers. A wonderful promise of God. You're not left alone. You're not abandoned. Verse 21, your ears, say it with me out loud, would you please? Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Hold on to what He said and keep walking. What can God do? What can God do? Say it with me again, please. He's God. How many know God can get you through to His desired next steps? Can you raise your hand with me and say, I've seen it before. He's a faithful God. So I'm going to encourage myself and I'm going to encourage the family of God. If you're going through a tough time, God didn't abandon you. Just remember, He's going to guide you and get you through. Hold on and keep going. And sometimes, remember when Jesus faced this kind of stuff. I don't know if you can do it, Lord. I don't know. I mean, have you ever thought that? I don't know if it's going to happen this time. I don't know if I can get the money in time to pay those bills. I don't know if my health is going to hold out. I don't know what I'm going to do. And Jesus says, just hold on. I got you. He knows what He's doing. But they said to Jesus, Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you could believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And if you look at that in another version, the Passion Translation, they had said to him, Lord, if you will, please heal my son. And the Passion says it beautifully. What do you mean if? What do you mean if? If you're able to believe, all things are possible to the believer. What you believe determines how you live. Come on, say that with me. What you believe determines how you live. Jesus says, believe me. Believe me. I'll get you there. Believe me. Keep walking. Keep believing. Believe me. Keep watching your words and the confession of your heart. Let your mouth declare, my God can do anything. Come on. My God can do anything. Jesus can do anything. Too many give up just before their deliverance. Too many give up just before the deliverance. Church, He's got His hands on you. I want you to turn to each other sweetly and say, Jesus has His hands on you. When it's dark, that's when it's tough to trust Him, isn't it? When it's dark. When it's, you know, there are people psychologically, physically, who have real problems when it's too dark around here or in the night seasons. Or the long winter seasons. There are people who sit in front of light tubes to encourage themselves and to get strengthened. It's a real issue. And there really is interesting answer and help in the light. So it's not a crazy thing. But in the dark times, That's when it's tough to trust. And Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. All of us are the work of your hands." Do you know that Jesus hasn't taken his hands off you, Mr. and Mrs. Clay? He's still at work. Say it with me. I am the clay, but he's the potter. He knows what he's making. So we see, we agree, and we decree. Didn't we learn about that? We see, we agree, and we decree. I belong to Jesus. Say it with me. I belong to Jesus. His hands are on me for good. Come on, say that. I'm rehearsing with you this morning. What's important to say? What's important to believe? How do you keep going when the GPS has stopped talking? You just keep pointing that road down the car, putting pedal to the metal, and you keep going. I believe you, Lord. I'm going to keep going. This is the direction you've given me. And you are going to see me through. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. I'm going to give you a set of scriptures here. I'm going to turn to one of them especially. Pastor Sherry, great opening this morning from Psalm 78. But what a powerful psalm. She searched and searched for a scripture to use, and you found it the tail end, right? The last, was it the last part? Yeah. Oh, 79, last verse, yeah. 78, man, is a tough wandering in the wilderness kind of time. But there's a lesson to learn here. Psalm 78, if you have it in front of you, Psalm 78, I want you to see it out of your own Bible. I would like you to turn to verse 41 of Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 41, I have it up here with several translations, but I'd love for you to see it from your own Bible that you have this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have Bibles in the back that you can get. Psalm 78, verse 41, are you there? Say yay or amen. Say, I only gave you a positive choice, right? Say yay or amen. Okay. I'm there. Yes, again and again, New King James, they tempted God. Watch. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Whoa, church. You ever thought of that before? Limiting God. Can you really limit God? Well, let's see. Out of the New Living, they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One. Out of the Message, it says they pushed him to the limit. Anybody ever feel like you've done that with God before? Whoa, God is gracious. But I don't want to be the one who pushes him to the limit. Do you? No, thank you. How about the Passion Translation? Watch. They limited God. Watch. Preventing him. There should be a next one. There we go. Passion Translation, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Yikes! Do you ever do that? Forgive me, Lord, I know I've done that sometimes. How do I do that? We're going to see just real quickly what they did that accomplished this, but they prevented him from blessing them. Continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. What have they done to bring this upon them? How did they do this? What was going on in their hearts, in their minds, through their mouths? Now, the Psalm 78 begins with a commitment that the psalmist says, we are going to pass God's word and testimony to the new generations. It's a powerful section of scripture, verses 4 through 8. If you're there, Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. It's a commitment based on what they'd learned from what they had seen in the past. Listen to the word of God. We will not hide them, meaning the ways of God, the words of God. We're not going to hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. So we're going to pass it on. We're going to keep communicating what God has done so the newest generations that come up can see the good things of God. How many want to do that? Let's pass on what God has done. Now, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob. They appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. What? The ways of God, the words of God. That they might know them, the children who would be born. What does it say? Verse 6. That they may arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So why do you pass on what God has done? Why do we share here our testimonies? Why do we encourage each other? Why do we do praise reports? So you can put hope in one another. So you can pass on the good things that God has done. And when you see the good things and hear the good things, you start to rise in your own heart of faith and you go, God can do that for me. Come on, don't you, church? God can do that for me. God can help me. God helped my brother, my sister in the midst of that storm. I believe He can do that for me. So we pass on these things that God has done in verse 8, so that we may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, my question is, how were they not faithful to God? How? Watch. Verses 9 through 11. I'm just going to quickly go through it. 9 through 11, if you have it right there, it says, they were armed, but turned back in the day of battle. Folks, you're wearing the whole armor of God. We've been talking about it for 12 weeks, 13 weeks. You've got the armor of God on, so don't turn back in the day of battle. What does Paul say to do? Having done all, stand. Take the sword of the Spirit. Tell the enemy to get out. Put on the armor of God. But they were armed, but turned back in the day of battle. So the question exists then this. What happens when you turn back in the day of battle? They didn't keep God's covenant, it says in the Word. They didn't, and they refused to walk in His Word. They refused to walk in His law. They forgot His works. How many know when you turn back from God, you forget the good things He's done for you? Come on, church, it's quiet in here. Oh, no, or amen. Amen. It's easy to have this happen. They forget the works that He's done for them, and they forget the miracles, the deliverance from Egypt. They forgot about it. Verse 18, they tested God in their heart with lusts and with unbelief. They did not believe God, verse 22, that they didn't believe His salvation, the Bible says. Verse 40, they provoked God in the wilderness. They grieved Him in the desert. They tempted God. And finally, it concludes, they limited the Holy One of Israel. May I bear my soul to you? I thank God for His mercy. His grace, He forgives when we have done this. He has help for us if we fall into this kind of unbelief. But with all my heart, I want to pass on to you, in our heart of hearts, let's never limit God. I don't want to limit God. He's a great, mighty King and a wonderful warrior and Savior and Redeemer, the one who did everything for us. And He's looking for His kids basically to say, Father, I believe You. I don't know. I haven't heard from the GPS in a while. I haven't heard You for a while, but I'm just going to keep walking in faith because I don't want to limit You. I believe You see me. You know me. You hear me. Oh, God, though it's a tough time, I believe You'll see me through and give me a testimony on the other side of this test. I'm going to be able to share with others what You have said and done because You're the God who's faithful. I don't want to limit You, Lord. With all my heart, I want my life to praise You and not limit You. We think to ourselves things like, you know, if Jesus really loved me, this kind of stuff wouldn't happen. But all the while, your loving Father sees you. Ever have kids that you allowed to go through a tough time so they could learn a lesson? Sure. You know, what they say now, they used to be helicopter parents, right? They were hovering over and they were watching over, giving them a terrible time. You know what they call them now? Bulldozer parents. They're going to plow everything out of their kids' way so the kids don't have any tests. They plow everybody out of the way that gives them a tough time. And the kid grows up entitled and without any sense of how to endure during testings so they can grow up a strong man and woman of God to lead the next generation. And we got thousands whining and complaining in our streets. I have no problem with peaceful discourse and things happening. But the problem at the root of so much of what happens is I don't like you because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. And bulldozing parents create entitled children. Are we that way in the spirit? Let's not be. Matthew 13, 54 through 58. You can turn to it if you want. I'm not going to read through that section. But Matthew 13, 54 through 58 is all about when Jesus came back to Nazareth. You remember what it was like. He goes back to Nazareth and the Bible concludes in those scriptures, they're offended at Jesus. They're offended at him and they say, well, don't we know this guy? He grew up a carpenter, so we know this guy. And so the Bible says he didn't do many works there because of their unbelief. Listen, church, it doesn't say he couldn't do many works there. It says he didn't do many works there. God is still God. But are we shutting the door on God's doing something strong on our behalf because we waver in the testing times? Now, I want you to point out, if you're still in Psalm 78, I'm going to give you a couple of verses, because even in the midst of all this limiting God, I want you to hear the heart of God. We sometimes think the Old Testament God is hard, the New Testament God is all love. I want you to look at the heart of God for his people, even though they limited him and tested him and provoked him. Verses 38 and 39 of Psalm 78. 38 and 39. But he, being full of compassion, did what? Forgave their iniquity. And what? Did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Come on. Like me, aren't you glad the Lord has mercy even when you waver? Aren't you glad that even when the tough times get tough and you and I go, oh, he's not here, he's never here, God sits in the heavens and he goes, will you learn this, please? But he has mercy and grace on us. He says, I love you. I'm going to keep walking with you. And thank God. How many are grateful you're on the New Testament side of things? You ever feel like you were worse than what Israel was doing out in the wilderness with a complaining heart? And yet we're on the New Covenant side of things. But this is the heart that God expressed even in the midst of that. What a loving God. Come on, say it with me. I have a loving Father who bears with me, even in the tests. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Greater works. Greater works. We're going to take a look for just a quick moment at a scripture in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Let's go on to the next slide, if we could, please. I believe it's on the slide. Maybe not. Yeah. Thou art the Father, we're the clay, thou art the potter. And one more. Thank you, my friend. You're doing incredibly, John. Thank you. By the way, thank God for John and his son Courage helping us out. We love you guys. Round of applause, everybody. John 14, 12. Great. Thank you. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, you want to see a perfect illustration of how that happened? He took the one who denied him three times, full of fear, full of timidity, who was warming his hands around a fire, and they said, hey, you're one of them. And he begins to curse. He says, I'm not. I don't even know the man. Come on. Ever been there? And after Jesus' resurrection, he says the most wonderful words. He says, go tell my disciples, and Peter, the most wonderful words, because he's saying that to you and me this morning as well. Go tell my disciples and Jim and Lynn and Sherry and Kevin and, oh yeah, go back to Kevin and tell him again. And go, you know, and you and me. And he names us. And then he says, look, greater works than these. You go, well, I don't deserve to do greater works. Well, aren't you glad it's not based on that? But he says, if you walk with me during the test, I'll give you a testimony. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, a timid, fearful man who denied him three times became full of the boldness of the Spirit of God. And he stands up with the words of Jesus ringing in his ears, and he proclaims the message of Jesus and his salvation and his hope, and he brings a convicting message. And how many got saved at that one sermon? 3,000 people. Isn't that interesting? Greater works! How many know that hundreds of millions of people have come to Jesus and there are deliverances, healings, resurrections, and miracles? How many in this room have received some of the gracious acts of God on your behalf? So we remind each other, don't give up. GPS may be a little silent right now. You just keep going because he's right there. And greater works than these shall you do. If that's you today, repent and renounce a disbelieving spirit. Repent and renounce limiting Jesus. Repent and believe and decree and see what he's saying. And say to yourself and others around you, this applies to me. He's going to do this for me. He loves me. And I know he loves you. And we're in this together. And we're going to go on. And oh, by the way, you're going to get an answer from the Lord. And oh, by the way, he hasn't abandoned you. He loves you. He's with you. He sees you. He knows you. And he's not let you go. By the way, his blood is bigger than your sin. By the way, his grace, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. By the way, you're free in the good news of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. By the way, God is good. I believe it shall be even as it is told me, the Bible says. I believe the report of the Lord. By the way, God is good. Let's proclaim it and believe it. Someone say amen. Amen. There was a beautiful, beautiful, massive, handsome, thoroughbred horse. Literally, this massive horse. Beautiful horse. You look in history about this horse, and the trainers that worked with this horse, their quotes are incredible. They say, think about the most perfect athlete in the world you've ever heard of, who is just a perfect height, a perfect weight, and now you know it's not me, the perfect one, whose temperament is kind and caring and sleek and strong. And oh, by the way, the quote went on to say, it's just a fascinating read. The quote went on to say, by the way, the best looking person you've ever seen in your life. Just think about that. And that's this horse. But every time this horse would start its races, it would start off last. And it lost a bunch of races. But what's interesting is the horse would, when it lost a race, literally, They say horses don't have personalities. How many know they probably do? Yeah, right. So this horse, when it would lose a race, you could not console and comfort this horse. It didn't do any good to talk to this horse to try to calm it down. That horse would go into its stall, leave its rump towards you, and put its head at the back wall. And it would stand there like it was thinking through what I'm going to do the next time. And the next time it raced, virtually every time, it would go out, win the race, and break the record that probably still stands today. Race after race. And they said, this horse, it's not going to make it. Coming up to the time of the Triple Crown. He won race number one. Then he went and lost another one. He ran the second race. And then they ran him another one, and he lost. And then they found out it had an abscess in its mouth, and that's what held it back. But the most amazing thing would happen with this horse. Whereas every other horse would get out and run, and its fastest time was its start time, and then it would slow down. Every quarter mile, this horse sped up faster and faster and faster, right through to the finish line. And Secretariat, now we can bring it up, thank you. Secretariat was, in out of 25 years, the first Triple Crown winner that there had been in 25 years. The most beautiful horse. You can run through a couple of those slides. That'd be great, John. Absolutely sleek and powerful. There's a statue of it leaping out. And its strides were incredible. To read the descriptions on this horse, if you're a horse lover at all, even if you're not, you have to appreciate the beauty of God's creation. And this horse, it was so cool. I'm telling you more than I intended, but they said the personality of this horse, it was a kind horse. And it learned what to do when people were taking pictures. It'd be walking along with his trainer and hear a click and it would go. And it would pose. It was apparently an absolutely fantastic horse. But, there came a time, finally at the age of 19, when it got a disease and they put him down. And out of all the top 100 athletes in the world, the horse is like number 17 on the list. 30, somewhere in there. It's just an incredible, incredible story. But they do some checking afterwards. It's a special name, like an autopsy for horses. This massive, beautiful horse, they figure. Now I just want you to hang on and hear me for a moment. They said it couldn't do it. It's limited. We limit God. And they said it couldn't do it, but it did. As it ran faster and faster. They said after his death, they found that his heart was perfect. No problems. One doctor said it was a huge engine. Now listen. And he estimated that Secretariat's heart probably weighed 22 pounds, 2.5 times the size of an average horse. So it never tired. It was always able to keep running. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, as he came to the end of his journey, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And how many of you understand that there were tough times in Paul's life? Lots of tests, probably more than what we go through, that continued to give this man a testimony. And I believe that when that man got to heaven, God probably smiled and said, you know, your heart's 2.5 times the size. How does God grow our heart? By allowing tests. So we believe him and learn to trust him in the midst of our race. I've kept the fight. I've kept the faith. I've run my race. And we are going to do just like Secretariat. His fastest time was breaking the tape right there at the end. And they said on that last Belmont Stakes for the Triple Crown, you can go to it, YouTube it this afternoon on Google or on your computer. It's a few minutes long. I called Sherry over last night. I said, come here, come see this. As that race, Secretariat finished 31 lengths ahead of the following horse, the longest, farthest win in Triple Crown history and records that stand today because its heart kept him going. Your heart of faith, keep going. Come on, church, keep going. Turn to each other and say, come on, let's keep going. No matter how tough it gets, God's going to give us a testimony from this test. Come on, church. Let's keep going. Let's say I finished my race. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Come on, church. Let's keep going. My question to you today is, what can God do? Anything and everything he wants. Stand with me, would you please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe you today that you can do anything. Lord, that you haven't forgotten us, but you've forgiven us. You haven't forsaken us, but you've had mercy on us. Lord, we thank you that with every step of the miles that go, you are faithful to help us and lead us on. Lord, thank you that you are the God who does all things well. And when we don't hear your voice, we're just going to keep going in faith. We're going to keep encouraging each other. And Lord, through it all, our hearts are enlarged because you've kept working with us. And Lord, we're going to keep running our race before you. Thank you, Lord, that you can do anything and everything you want. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing about standing in awe of God again. Because as we go from this place, if the Lord's spoken to you, I encourage you, if you want prayer before you go, there'll be people here to pray for you if you need healing in your body. But above all, the Lord wants you to leave this place built up and encouraged that he sees you, knows you, and loves you, and is able to help you. Do you believe that, church?
Yeah.
He sees you, knows you, loves you, and is able to help you because he can do anything. Amen. Thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Finally, my beloved ones, may the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, be flowing in your spirit.
Amen.
So shall it be. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Go out, have a fantastic day, believing God is with you. And we'll be right back here next week at this time, Grace Gathering Wednesdays. God bless you. You're released in the Lord.
Wow.